from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Adam Chernoff is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about preseason, NFL X, as they say, Jason, getting underway. Also going to ask him about, I don't know if you saw this, it's not your sponsor, okay? Thankfully, but in certain states, DraftKings is implementing a surcharge on your winnings to pay for their taxes.
Whoa.
So every time you want to bet, at least 3% comes out of your winnings. Because they want to pass their tax costs down to you, the consumer.
You're messing with my gas money.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll talk to Adam Chernoff about all of that. But Santi Aldama and Spain's game with Canada has just gone final. Let's talk about that in the rundown.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Spain, very valiant, I would say. Incredibly valiant effort against Canada. But it's final. 88-85. Is your final with a Spain 3 from Sergio Llull missing at the buzzer, which I believe indeed means two things. One, Canada wins group. I think they're in group A. So they win group A. They are undefeated, 3-0 group A. And I believe it also means because of point differential, Santi Aldama and Spain are eliminated. I believe they're
bye-bye.
Gone. Well, I say that. Their point differential. No, excuse me, that's not point. That's just points earned in the group, sorry. I think because of point differential, they will be eliminated because that's what it goes to, right? If you finish third in your group, the top two teams with point differential move on to the knockout stage, right? So I think because Spain lost by 12 to Australia,
okay,
that's gonna eliminate them.
And apparently point diff matters at the top two for the one seed, and that's why
yes.
USA has to crush Puerto Rico. That's
yes.
what I've been reading
yes.
from the... They're kind of letting Puerto Rico know
yes.
they gotta wallop them to get the one seat.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's the great thing about the Olympics, by the way, you know, is that these teams play until the absolute last second, you know, which I do in the NBA. You know, it ain't like that. You know, like you put the bench in. You know, like it's different. But in the Olympic Games, which by the way, shout out to Spain +9 over here. Appreciate starting the weekend off like that.
Congrats to you.
But that means they are officially eliminated because let's just do some math here. They lost to Australia by 12. They beat Greece by 7. Then they lost by 3. So that'd be a point differential of 8, right? That'd be -8. Greece, which is in their same group, lost by 7 to Canada, lost by 7 to Spain, but just beat Australia today. I guess they're tied at 8 then. Would that be so they'd be tied
what
at
they
eight.
Beat Australia by?
They be by 6 or
six?
7. Yeah, I think it was 7 or.
If it's 6 then it's 8 and then
yeah,
they
I think
are
it is.
Tied.
So it's 77-71 and Spain has the tiebreaker over Greece though cuz they won. So maybe Spain's not eliminated. It just depends
you just
on
just be careful.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
We depend on you for this.
No, I should be better than this. I don't know that they're eliminated. I thought they were eliminated, but I guess it's technically not.
I thought they were gone unless they won this morning.
Yeah, I don't think...
That's what I read in The Athletic, but until you started coming here and telling me about point diff, so...
No, they are eliminated. They are eliminated according to social media, so there you go. So Spain and Santi are done. So then I think we now wait to see what happens. You know, I think Greece and Australia might sweat it out a little bit, although I think Australia finishes second in the group, so they're fine. So Greece is sweating. Mm-hmm. Greece is sweating the other third-place group.
Okay.
So that's what it boils down to. But Santi was not great today. He had a brace on his hand. A black brace on his
They've
hand.
They've been injured.
Yeah. And
he didn't have that early in the tournament.
Obviously, he played, so it's not that big of a deal. But he was not good. He was not particularly good in this game today for Canada. He finished with 7 points on 2 of 8 shooting. Did have 10 rebounds, which were very big. But, could not get Spain over the hump here. Canada just rolling, man. They got 18 from Nembhard off the bench.
Wow.
I mean.
And I saw that RJ's averaging like 25.
Yeah, he had 16 today. Shea had 20. Dylan had 13.
Okay.
They're pretty balanced. Their bigs stink. That's the issue, right? Like, their bigs are just bad and have no bag whatsoever. And that's the advantage that the United States is going to have over Canada. But, yes, Canada goes through for sure. And they'll be, obviously, you know, in contention. But I really don't think there is much of one, right? Because the United States... They destroyed Serbia. They destroyed Canada's winning. They're not winning like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Germany won by 20, and then they won by 13. So maybe if Germany beats the hell out of France today, you know, later at 2:00, you may have to take that into consideration tomorrow against Puerto Rico. But Serbia beat Puerto Rico by 41, bro. So,
wow.
I mean, if you beat Serbia by 26 and Serbia beat Puerto Rico by 41, I don't think you can make this number high enough.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what is the number? Let's check. I don't think it's high enough, sir.
Let's go with 39, 44, somewhere in there.
You think it's going to be that high?
If Serbia beat them by that many.
I mean, it would make logical sense, right?
Again, I don't have Puerto Rico's results in front of me, but I'm assuming it's going to be that high, up around there.
It's 33.5.
Well, it's lower than I thought.
Yeah, that's high, though, dog.
Still high in the grand scheme.
That's high. I don't want to lay 33.5.
Still lower than I thought, though.
But doesn't it feel like the United States can pick a number against Puerto Rico? It does to me.
Again, they have to. They have to win big. They've literally warned Puerto Rico.
I believe Serbia's defeat of Puerto Rico is the highest margin in the tournament so far, 41.
They've told Puerto Rico a storm's coming.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, that's your Olympic update today.
We're sorry about it.
Spain gone. And that is the end of an era in Olympic basketball, right? To see them kind of not even get to the knockout stage.
It was already over, but probably symbolically this could mark the end.
Yeah. I don't think they meddled in the World Cup.
Once the Gasol brothers stepped away, it was over.
Yeah. And they have, you know, Santi, but that's really it. And the Hernan Gomez brothers.
They don't have a centerpiece.
That's right.
That's what the brothers were for long.
Fernandez aging out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Garuba, not it. I mean, they had high hopes for Garuba, you know, when he was drafted 3-4 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. He has not panned out. You know, Lorenzo Brown, they brought in. I think he was shaving points. I mean, 5 turnovers, 4 points. I think he was shaving points, and they still managed to cover the number here. Canada moves on 3-0, and the only other game tonight, or today, I should say, is it's a huge tilt. It's for the group. It's undefeated France versus undefeated Germany.
That's a big one.
At 2 p.m., I obviously will be locked into that one.
Sure you will.
Germany.
Locked into it for us.
A 3.5-point favorite.
Okay. I like Germany.
Which is interesting because coming into the tournament, France was the favorite by far to win the group.
It's going
to
be Germany or Canada in the gold medal game with us. Which one? Take the pick. It's one of those two.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have to say Canada just because, like, they're relentless, bro. They are just relentless mm-hmm. with their scoring. Like Shea. And by the way, Jamal
it needs
Murray
to be Canada.
Jamal
with
Murray
all those pros.
Had 4 points today.
Yeah, they don't even need him to do anything.
Yeah, like he's coming off the bench,
on
bro.
Now they will need all of it against the U.S.
Dort is a difference maker in international basketball.
Well, who's he just gonna shut down?
Everybody. He shuts down everybody.
He ain't gonna shut down KD.
Oh, well, it's for the United States, no.
He'll shut down Tatum.
He'll shut down the
LeBron.
Best player for everybody else, though.
Right, sure. That's what I'm talking about, difference.
But no, that's it. I mean, if it's the United States again, I'll be laying the points with the United States. We saw that in the exhibition. But, you know, in terms of getting there, I think I'd probably have Canada for sure as the silver favorite. Olympic basketball rolls on. We're getting to the knockout stage, which is when Jason will re-engage with the tournament.
I think kind of all of us.
We'll
let you cover pool play, you and Wendy.
Brad, you don't have a problem with me spoiling Canada, Spain, right? I just want to make sure that's not going to show up on primetime. It's just United States stuff that you care about. It's not the Canada and Spain stuff. I just want to be clear.
I just turn you down when you talk Olympics.
Okay.
So
okay.
I wait till your mouth stops.
He tunes out.
I literally tune off you all, and I watch your mouths until you stop talking about Olympics so I can save.
That's amazing. Even Canada, Spain?
It's that one.
Friday night, fool.
Will they show that, Canada, Spain?
I don't know. It's just so I have total clearance. It's just me personally. It's a weird thing.
Because
I can just turn the monitor.
No, there's a guy in our group chat, in our college basketball group chat, who leaves the chat at the start of the day.
Yeah, then that's what I do. I just get away from it.
And it's very interesting. It's very interesting to have to wait 8 hours and somehow not hear about the results. But I give you
credit.
I've
successfully done it.
Yeah, good for you. Has it enriched your viewing experience?
Oh my God, I love the Olympics.
So yesterday you saw Simone do it?
Yep.
Okay.
Gosh. Greatness personified.
Is she the best athlete in the history of the
world?
There's
nothing we can add to this conversation.
We left her off our top 25.
If she were in Memphis, she'd be number one.
She just wasn't on the initial ballot.
But I told Stacey this watching the Olympics last night. I came away from it after seeing her at 14 feet in the air again. It's like, she's the best athlete in the history of the world.
You're going too far.
She is unbelievable, Jason.
Again, everybody keeps trying to top what. That's why I feel like I'm uncomfortable in this conversation, because everybody's trying to top what the last person said, because you're trying to do that for a goat, and then
she was wearing a goat necklace for God's sake.
And I thought it looked like her floor thing. She did the yawn, like this is so easy for me, compared to the rest of her. She's so far ahead of the rest of her.
Competition.
It's
just
amazing.
Blowing them away.
It's amazing.
I did get a little.
It's like
a lot
Tiger and the Masters in his prime. You're just watching the best. It's so much better than everything else.
It's something to behold. I guess is where I'm going with it. You're right. I wanted to go
1-2 there. We did not. Suni got third.
Yeah, that was. I thought the Brazilian wasn't as good as Suni. I thought she had a case, mm-hmm. but I'm not a professional judge.
So I was a little bit let down, and we didn't go 1-2 there.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you have a big Friday night planned with the wife and the wine. Y'all going to have a good night tonight. We don't want to spoil that for Brad Jones.
There is something when you turn on Mike Tirico at 7 o'clock.
It's been a great package. It has. My wife and I have watched it. I'm there with you. Now, we don't do the whole wine thing or whatever else, but we're having a good time.
Yeah, it's fun.
Less romance for us than y'all.
I said this on my video this morning. Did you hear how much revenue they're clearing on this thing?
Billions.
It's absurd how much money they're raking. Like, the money they're shelling out for these celebrities is clearly worth it, you know?
So is it re-recorded, their commentary?
No,
it's packaged.
But it is edited because you'll hear cutoff points.
And you'll notice that in the live right corner, it doesn't say live like it will today while you're watching Peacock or other. They take off live.
And I'll give you an example, man, of the difference. Like with the French swimmer that's been so amazing, Léon Marchand.
Yeah.
Okay, in the morning you're watching him. He has the two events that are split. He's trying to win medals doing on the same day, but there's an hour and a half between. Okay, in the morning when you're watching that live, you would have to wait the hour and a half. When you were watching the package, the package that NBC puts together for prime time, you get the first race, him winning, and then 5 minutes later, they're showing you winning in the next race.
Love it.
Stuff that doesn't concern necessarily as much USA, they package that up, give it to you tight, and that's better than the live viewing experience where you're waiting on that, right?
Exactly. Yep.
And so that's why it makes the package worth it.
Yes.
And then you put the celebrities around and all that, a little Snoop feature here and there, you got a nice little feature in a time where ain't nobody else watching anything anyway. There's nothing else. Football's just coming back around.
Got it.
So you can steal pretty much every living room in America.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
They're doing a good job.
Nice primetime evening.
They're capitalizing.
I'm not trying to be cheesy, I promise. Like, Gabe was making fun of me yesterday. I'm like, bro, I'm one of these guys. I'm just not on Twitter all day long because I got too much stuff going on.
It's fine. The way they're presenting it, I totally get if you just want to wait till you get the package at 7 and it feels like especially if you don't know what's happening, it feels like you're watching it live.
I mean, I was watching the Spain Canada game during the Thad interview.
You're watching it during the interview.
Yeah. I get distracted doing that.
I mean,
I have to focus.
You guys can go back and listen to the interview. You can tell me if you thought I sounded distracted or not. I mean,
it's an amazing ability.
It's a skill you have. Apparently,
that's a skill.
But
gamblers can do that.
Yeah, but you have to be able to multitask, bro.
These are the guys at the six TVs, and you and Jeffrey can do these things.
I got to be able to. Because at home,
he's got multiple TVs.
I got to be able to parent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't just sit here and like hole up.
And in that BetQL gig that you've been doing, that is prime time. So you're you kind of have to do it there.
So you're like Tirico on there. You carry us through it the whole way through. You're just like,
well, it's a little different. Like, you're basically talking about it without reacting. Sometimes you react live. Like when the Grizzlies and the Heat, I was on during the Summer League Championship game, and as you guys know,
I hate that. That's hard.
I faded the Grizzlies, and so we were reacting to like that Heat run at the end there, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh, yeah, when Swider hit the three, you know. But I will say,
does that work?
I don't know. It's not really for me to decide. I personally, you know, when a game is going on, as a consumer, I want to watch the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think programming is best when you're not competing with the game itself.
Right.
Like, it's very difficult for me to be more entertaining than the game.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Which I think I'm entertaining.
I do think. But
I can't, I can't be more entertaining than the athletes.
The product.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, ultimately, I think that's probably, I have had the same thought. I'm like, why would people want to watch me instead of the game? Right. Like, but
and that's not taking anything away from your talent either.
Right.
When I ask you that,
it's
a legitimate question I have as a program director.
Most nights, though, when that does air, you're not going to be up against much. You know, it doesn't air on Saturdays. It doesn't air on Sundays. Yeah, it'll air on Thursday night and Monday night. So that's going to be, you're going to run into that with the NFL. But for the most part, you're just sort of talking about future bets in that week, right? I think that's when it's at its best. But no, look, when it comes to the live stuff, I'm going to choose the game every time.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm interested in. You know what I'm saying? And that's the case even, you know, like if it was us doing our show.
Oh, sure.
If there was a Grizzlies game on,
yeah.
Would you rather listen to the Grizzlies game or would you rather listen to Jason and John live weigh in on the Grizzlies game?
Well, if we're being real about it, those are always the toughest days. You do, it's not like summer days, but in March when those games are going on, like March Madness, those are hard, right? I mean, because you're trying to do a show.
And also, I'm trying to like focus on the, like if I have a bet, like I'm trying to like focus, you know, like on this one, you know, because this show is my baby, you know, I'm able to put it to the side, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I'm able to put it to the side, and you didn't even know I was watching the game.
Is it your baby?
It's my baby, bro. It's my firstborn.
You left your baby for a month.
Well, that's because I had another.
Is that what most people do? They leave their children.
Well, with
since it's your baby,
when you're populating the world, Jason.
I left my baby with
for other babies.
Co-parent. I mean,
you have to find a way to love all of your children.
Yeah, but dude, equally. Sometimes Faith was stuck in Iceland for a week. You still had CJ, right?
I just question that analogy again, comparing it to your baby.
It's my baby, bro. If you can't handle the show without me, you're a bad parent.
24 straight days, a lot to ask. I'd like to see you in that spot.
Hey, you know what you got to do? You know what you got to do, brother? Get to work.
No, I don't still hold that against you.
No, you definitely don't.
Not at all.
You don't bring
it up. I don't bring it up every day.
No.
Only occasionally.
No, I know who you are at this point.
Fad.
That's right.
Especially when I didn't get anything back from Chicago.
But we've explained that.
One more weekend, I'll get over it.
We've explained why you didn't get anything from Chicago. I mean, I was there for literally 2 days, and I wasn't going to bring you any cup stuff, which, what a great decision that was.
Yep.
I mean, you weren't going to wear that. Cardinals in the race. Cubs not.
Got that dubbed in with Brad.
You had a nice game last night, Jason, as I went back and looked at the highlights later because I was doing the Olympics and the football game. Let me say this.
Cubs got the win last night.
Got that dub over them cards.
Yes, they did.
We're just playing a little spoiler.
That hurt.
Up 4-1.
We some garbage. They blew it in the ninth.
Piss poor.
Up 4-2. You guys blew
it. The first game we've won all year, down 2 runs in the ninth.
Brutal.
Damn,
brutal.
Sammy Sosa hit the walk off.
It was Sammy. He put
okay.
Hit that.
Who hit the walk-off?
That dinger. I have no idea, dude. I have tuned out.
Dansby?
I just saw the score.
Dansby Swanson hit the walk-off?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I mean, it matters.
The Cardinals are a better team. We're underperforming. They should be ashamed themselves.
Bro, you're like 3 games back. What are you talking about?
We're not making a push, bro.
It was nice of them to beat a playoff
team. You got 3 games ahead with the Cardinals. I mean, this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's other teams in the wild card, huh? It's more than just trying to get over.
But I'm saying though, if you want to, this would be the week to make the push.
While you're playing them, that's how you catch up. Yes, you're correct on that.
Yeah. So I don't. You seem to think they would not do it.
You're biting your nails about it, though. I wouldn't do that. Or do you sense opportunity here? Do you sense a team that's surging? You want to bet on them?
No. I have no idea.
All right.
But I'm just saying from a logistical standpoint, right? You have a team that's 3 games back with 3 games.
No, there's plenty of room left in the season to catch the Cardinals, but we are massive, maybe the biggest disappointment.
But why so
in Major League Baseball?
So
certainly
pessimistic
in my eyes.
against a team that's only 3 games better than you.
Because again, we have underachieved. We're not hitting the ball. We haven't got pitching. We don't have anything, bro.
Yeah, you don't have any stars. Really, that's for sure.
Our lineup has let us down. We've made some bad decisions.
Cody Bellinger being this big pickup.
They still got Hendricks, right?
Yeah, but Kyle, he's not nearly. He's a shadow of his former self. He's not the ace that he used to be. You know, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. There's stop.
What about the manager? You got the Savant.
A Chicago team
manager
played last night that matters. That the one that beat the Cardinals doesn't.
I am over the friggin' Bears already.
Are you done with American basketball?
Let's
USA
talk about
international
the Bears for a second.
Hit next story.
Okay, please. You got this.
Next story.
Oh my God, I'm over it already.
Bears win 21-17.
Get that.
No, we do not recognize this victory.
Man said he's over the Bears.
Over
we
it.
We are not recognizing
I've
this.
I've been hearing about
win,
that
bro.
Damn Bears for
That's
6
absurd.
Months, and they haven't won anything.
Also, both of y'all some haters now?
You cannot recognize
You're
it as
with
a win.
Him.
Y'all were leading.
Thank you.
Bro, it's literally says the Bears won the game at ESPN 21-17. I don't care that they called it.
They
the game is over.
The game.
Were the bets paid off? What you were talking about with me this morning? They were not paid
the full
out.
Full game bets were refunded. First half bets were paid. Y'all won the first half.
So what I'm supposed to say? We played three quarters and game ended, and I'm not supposed to say Bears won?
You can say the Bears had the lead.
That's a preseason win. That's a preseason win, and I'm taking it.
No.
And we did it without even our starters.
Weren't the Texans
you
driving?
You understand what I'm saying?
Weren't they driving in your territory?
I stopped watching. It was bad football at that point, fool.
Wow, this is some real
can't believe y'all
spin.
Y'all act like this wasn't a win. It's
it was
a dub.
We
go
hard
and we go back to Chicago.
I'll give it. It was like a minute left in the fourth.
Now, I wasn't going to spend that much time on until you two haters start talking. This ain't no win until y'all stepped up. I was going to talk about the kickoff rules.
I know.
We'll get there.
Caleb Williams didn't even play.
I know. But
what can I say
CJ
about this
Stroud
win?
It wasn't a win.
I'm not going to dissect this win.
It wasn't a win.
Because my starters didn't play. I wasn't even going to do that. But you clowns come in here today on a Friday trying to rattle me and tell me I didn't see the Bears come away, scoreboard 21-17, they walked off.
They did. Is it recognized as a win in the record books?
Let me tell you something. Intramural basketball, White Station, I've told you this story before. When them boys jumped me, them ninth graders jumped me, the 12th grade team, they jumped me in intramurals.
You stabbed them.
No. No. Terry Tippett said, the score right now, this game is over. Who's ever winning right now wins the game.
Well, that's because
you understand what I'm saying. No, it was done.
That's because
it was
you
over.
Had pulled
and
out a knife.
And the game ended, and I didn't pull out a knife until I'm going back to school the next days in case I've got a stab.
Got it.
This is about in the immediate. Terry Tippett called the intramural game, and he said, look at the scoreboard. Who's ever winning wins the game and advances. That was a win, even though it didn't end.
Okay,
last night was a win for the Bears.
So Tippett,
you think
mad.
We ain't on that plane going back from Canada, Chicago, celebrating
a
victory?
There's a whole fourth quarter.
Congratulations for
the
Bears.
We ain't going back to play it, fool. It's over.
Winning the Elon
ending. We were winning. We win.
Game.
I don't know, man. I think this is extremely controversial that you're counting.
Y'all think
this
we 0-0-0.
I think y'all are
0-0-0.
I think y'all.
No, it's 1-0. 1-0. It matters. It doesn't. It's a preseason win.
Listen,
who
Tyson
cares?
Bagent looked
y'all
fantastic.
Caught up in the wrong stuff. It wasn't him. It was Brett Rippin that looked.
I mean,
wrong.
I guess they are recognizing
you
it as
dang
a win.
Right, we're recognizing it as a win. Now you got me on the bets payout, and that they shouldn't pay out. It would have been unfair.
But that's tough.
But it's absolutely a win.
But when the
dude.
Game is recognized, though, shouldn't the bets be paid out?
This is not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the funky kickoff rules. I don't want to dissect this win.
Okay.
Stress on dub.
You got it, man. It's
seeing it in front of you.
It's been recognized
1-0
in the official
In the preseason.
Yes.
We could have stayed there and played. They decided, let's give the Bears
unnecessary.
The W.
The
They've
Chicago
been
Bears.
The better preseason team tonight. Now, all eyes were on the NFL's new kickoff rules that we don't understand. We've redesigned the play. We got kickoff teams down on the receiving side of the field. And so if you weren't prepared for it, it was probably jarring. If you hadn't read about how... this is a big change when it comes to kickoffs in the NFL, and they're trying to increase a 22% return rate last year. The kickoff's not a part of the game anymore. I mean, typically teams are just taking it at the 25, which is where it was last year. And so here's the stats from at least the first our first experience with this. None of the 8 kickoffs were returned beyond the 32. 3 were brought back to the 26, a yard further than the old touchback. There was 1 touchback that came out to the 30. I still don't really get it with all the zones and everything else. It's going to take more time. We didn't get the explosive play is the point last night. But I think you can sort of see it happening. You can see it in Marcus Spears, I think, that was it is more like the line of scrimmage now. where you've look at it as you're looking at a run play and you got the offensive defensive lines, it looks more like that kickoffs now, and there will be holes that ultimately open up. And now you've got, what, just a kicker back there. If you get through that initial wave, that initial front line of defense, you've got just a kicker back there to stop you.
Yep.
We will get some big plays on this. I just don't know that it's going to – I still think we're going to get a lot of touchbacks. We're going to get a lot of non-returns. Guys are still going to kick it through the end zone in some instances. So I'm not going to sit up here and tell you we're going back to 50% on kickoff return rates in the NFL. Which, you know, that Kelsey was pointing out, that was just a few years back.
Where's the touchback mark,
Jason? But you want to get the Hesters.
It's the end zone, right?
Now it's the 30.
Oh, 30.
So the 30 is where you mark it if you
30.
Go through
the end
zone.
It used to be the 25.
Hell, that's what they're going to do if they're supposed to
be. I mean, you're only giving up five more yards.
Yeah.
And there's
I mean,
a lot of risk now if you're kicking it into that zone, and there's more risk of the explosive play of the return.
The 5 yards just, does add up over the course of a game.
It does. And that is essentially the difference now, that if you're kicking it, which it feels like most kickers are doing anyway, they're kicking it through the zone because it's strength and power now, that now you're going from 25 to 30.
Yeah.
I still think that's what we're going to see most of the time, but we will get some more returns and have maybe, you know, some Devin Hesters emerge again where at least that kind of player can be impactful again.
The first team that figures it out and masters it will have an absolutely huge advantage to the rest of the NFL.
Figured out in terms of the return or figured out in terms of how you're kicking off?
Both.
Because, again, if you figure it out on the return and you've got a great system of how to open up a hole, well, then most teams are going to just decide on you. I'm kicking it through the end zone on them. They're too good at it.
Yeah, I would say both.
Okay.
Because, you know, somebody is, right? Somebody's going to find the best returner in the NFL. Somebody's going to find the best. They're going to find a way to sort of jimmy it, you know, one way or the other. I enjoyed it. I thought last night was, nothing happened, like, in terms of, like...
Yeah, we didn't get it anywhere at a big
but
returns.
But you could
nothing
see...
beyond the 32, I think.
Because what ends up... you said 22%. I mean, it just ends up being a foregone conclusion of a play.
It's a non-play now.
Yeah.
You might as well just start at the 25
and
if
so
that's what
you
do. So
now it adds a great level of variance to the game.
It's true.
It could get a team back in a game if they're down for 17 points. It could be a difference maker for somebody. And so, you know, again, like I think a guy like Calvin Austin, it was very interesting. It was very interesting. And then again, they were not trying to kick it into the end zone.
Did he say he's going to get, when you talked to him, I was out, I didn't get
he
to
didn't
hear
say
it. Does he think kickoffs he's
he didn't
getting
say
or
officially,
no?
Okay. Because he may not, because he's actually been lining up as the number two receiver.
Wow.
He's going to be their number two next year, most likely.
I saw him out there on the field when they got, they had a brawl in camp. I saw him on the field.
What about late game onside? How does that piece work?
It's the same way, right? It's the same way, but you can't do it until the fourth.
So what? So all of those players are back. They're still in the same spot when you do the onside.
I mean, you're saying that's where they go back to your original position?
I believe
they go back to a normal kickoff position.
That makes way more sense.
So we're declaring that we're doing an onside.
Let me get it for sure, though.
I didn't see it last night, obviously, because they didn't have to do it.
Well, again, the kicker's in the same spot. So what you would be doing and what you're asking, it feels like to me, is bringing that kicking team back to you instead of up there.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying?
So, you got it.
You have to declare it, right?
You have to declare it. It's different now.
And you can only do it if you're losing in the fourth quarter.
There you go.
And that kickoff team will come back to that kicker is what I'm imagining.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Because if you're doing it down there, there's no point in that. That kickoff team's going to come back down. It's going to look like what we've seen.
What I don't understand, though, is like what is – I guess because they've changed the rules so much, that's why you have to declare it now, because they've changed the kickoff rules where, you're lining up. But I mean, honestly,
otherwise, they would expect you to line up
right
in this new formation on the on the receiving side of the field.
I would say why
so you
not?
Have to announce it. So they
why don't you just kick it into the bunch and just see who gets it first? Like, what's the big difference? You know what I'm saying? In terms of like, if that's the new onside, it's not the typical, but it's more like a squib kick. You know what's so wrong with doing that?
I'm not envisioning what you're saying.
I see what you're saying. Kick it, low ball it.
Well, like this, like okay.
With your team still way up there.
Yeah. But it has to go past your team first. The ball has to pass your team, but then it's fair game. But you have to wait, for the other team to touch it. I don't know.
I feel what you're.
I'm brainstorming
going with
that. A little bit.
I'm just kind of, but I
guess if that's the case, everybody would do that every kickoff. They would just take their chances. You know, that's
you're
probably
saying
a disadvantage.
What it would be like a 10-yard onside. The actual onside kick is now long in between them.
Yeah. Yes,
has to pass your group,
and then whoever gets
it first.
Get
in the middle.
Yeah.
That's a harder thing to do, is it not?
Well, yeah, it
to
is.
Land it in that zone and your own guys get it.
Yeah, It's very hard.
Okay.
But isn't that what onside kicks are supposed to be? So I don't know. Like I'm trying to get around a way of having to declare it, make it obvious to everybody, right? Like we don't have to wait till the fourth quarter.
Now tell me this. Because they can't move until the ball is received,
right?
There's going to be more opportunity to pick up fumbled, muffed kickoffs. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they can't move and get to you until you catch it.
Yep.
So there's not going to be anybody picking up that live ball on a kickoff because you've got so much time.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. It feels like more time to mess around back there because they can't move.
Correct.
Nobody can move until you receive it.
That's exactly right. Until it touches your hand.
So that's what would have to change on an onside, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
It's a very rough draft.
Would have to change about your onside kick is they can't move until old boy has touched it, and that would not work in terms of trying to get the ball back. You see what I'm saying?
I see where you're both going here.
So that's why we have to take it back and announce and go back to the original onside. That's why we can't do it that way.
Yeah.
These kickers, though, they got to do is practice all day kicking, right? So in theory, someone, to your point, John, and you're right, Jason, someone will create a number, or there's going to be more stuff that these kickers in their free time are going to figure out, right? Whether it's kick through the end zone, are we doing a low squib, are we declaring an onside, or they'll create a knuckleball effect or something will happen. You'll see some wild stuff in the next coming year.
Yeah, I think it will add.
Are you aware of our secret weapon punter?
No.
And I just want to extend the Bears conversation because I know how much Brad loves it.
It triggers the hell out of me. They haven't done nothing.
We spent a fourth rounder on the punter from Iowa. He's a real weapon, Tory Taylor.
Tell me about it.
Just wait till you see him. He's going to change the game.
Did they sit his ass too yesterday so they could save him?
We it's funny you ask. We had a brother out there punting yesterday.
Well, I'm all about that.
Who was that brother that was the Pro Bowler punter for y'all, John? I don't know if he's a Pro Bowler, but the brother. We used to love him.
Marquette King.
Marquette King. Do y'all remember the great Reggie Roby? There have been very few great black punters. And we got a number two black punter.
That's a good thing.
It's very unique.
Excellent.
Very unique. He was kicking that thing last night.
I'm down with that.
Now he's backing up a fourth-round pick in Tory Taylor, who's going to take over the duties, but... It was good seeing that brother punt that thing. You just don't see that a lot. You don't see the brothers punting it as much. They stand out.
I'm excited about seeing, in all seriousness, Adunze excites me more than Caleb Williams does, I think, at this point, after watching some of these highlights.
I'll tell you what, just back off my team. Okay.
It is so triggering. They did a 30-minute interview with the GM, and I'm like, well, this guy has done nothing.
I think I've done a good job sort of tempering expectations, telling Jeff today I'd be fine with 9. He's telling, Bears fans should want more.
Double digits.
He was saying that afterwards.
I'd be
fine with 9. Again, I think I've done a great job tempering expectations, not beating you over the head with Bears.
No, you've been tempered. I give you credit.
I can sense it. A frustrated Cardinals fan from last night. Don't want to hear about anything Chicago. I can understand. I want you and Stacey to have a good time tonight on the wine. Y'all enjoy yourselves.
Amen.
Find some peace.
John, where are you with me on this? Do you think it's a little overdone how much we're smoking up the Bears at this point?
Who's smoking them up?
At one time.
Who's picking them to win the division? Nobody.
I will say his senior year was rough, but at least relative to what he had done the rest of his career. But I would say, like, junior year, Caleb Williams, bro, I would have told you that dude might be the best to ever do it.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean.
We're going to pull that back out of him.
You know, Caleb, he had a tough senior year, but again, relative to the rest of his career, he threw more picks, but you know, there were just some things he did as a junior and his whole career, right? Where you're just like, damn,
yeah,
like that's different. So
Troy Aikman's with you, by the way.
Hype is part of it, but
they don't need him to be different at the beginning because all you got to do is throw the ball 5 yards to DJ Moore or to Keenan Allen or to Roma Dunze, and you let those things go. You don't have a dog team like you usually would have with the number one pick, and you're asking him to go out there and be C.J. Stroud off top. You're not doing that.
Yep.
And that is going to be something, unfortunately for Caleb Williams, he will inevitably be compared to the best rookie season we ever saw last year, and that was from C.J. Stroud. And there will be some people that are saying, Caleb Williams is not playing great because he's not throwing for 41.
No.
Because he didn't throw for 4,100 yards. Caleb Williams doesn't need to try to be C.J. Stroud and throw for 4,100.
Yep.
He needs to be frankly, he needs to manage.
Yep.
Learn to manage first with all these weapons, and then we can see the great greatness sort of play out over your career.
Yeah.
That would be the way to approach it. I'm hopeful he's of that mind.
Who was the receiver that caught that ball over his shoulder on the sideline there for the Bears? Like, I mean, it was a hell of a
kid.
Johnson?
Kid from Texas. Yeah. Colin Johnson.
Oof, that was
kid from Texas. He's been a journeyman, 4 years in the league or whatever else. He's trying to make the fifth spot. You know, but the Tennessee folks would know. I think it's Velus Jones. We drafted a couple years ago in the third round. He's been hanging on as a fourth, fifth receiver.
Deep.
He hadn't done anything to beat out this Colin kid I saw last night. And so, but Ryan Poles drafted Velus Jones with a third round pick. He hadn't wanted to cut him yet because you know that's his guy. So we'll see. That kid did stand out though. To your point,
he's long and can go get it.
New kickoff rules. Bears will be back at it hopefully with Caleb Williams against Buffalo. I believe it is next week.
Yeah, we'll take a break. Adam Turnoff going to join us at 1:25. We'll continue this conversation with him. We'll talk all things NFL. Nice start to the year.
Dub.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it was recognized. It was recognized.
I think Adam recognizes it
official.
As a W.
And that's, you know, that is an area where I totally let my, my prejudice to sports books and how they handled it sort of influence my real life thinking because it was recognized officially as a win.
Thank you.
But the house rules of the sports book say it has to go 55 minutes for bets to be paid out.
Yeah, but we don't operate on the sports book rules around in real life.
That is correct.
You understand? That runs your life.
That's right. It runs my life. It has me in an absolute death grip. You're exactly right. It was
a win.
It was a win.
That's the way to wrap it.
Not only was it a win.
Thank you.
It was just
good. Don't take that away from Rippin.
He was great, dude.
Brett, Boise State.
So is he going to be the backup then over the other kid?
He might be good enough to be the Raiders starter.
that's a low bar.
It is a low bar.
Very.
low bar.
Maybe we'll trade for him.
I kind of agree.
They should take a look.
It's not out of the question.
Yeah. Instead of paying Minshew, whatever they did, which is ridiculous.
It ain't like, you know what I'm saying, I'm sitting here to defend Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell.
No, I get it.
We suck. I don't know. Like they only gave Tyson a series, which was maybe they'll flip it. Maybe like Tyson will get it'll be the other way. Brett will start one game and then Tyson will get the rest of the half. But it was just weird. They got stuffed on that. He called that fourth down. Tyson got outplayed last night in a big way on that fourth and one false start.
Bro, did you see the clip they showed him? I assume it's going to be on Hard Knocks when Caleb Williams announces to the team, like all rookies have to do, what his signing bonus was.
Yes.
And they showed Bajent, the backup quarterback, who's probably making next to nothing, as Caleb Williams. And like the whole room erupts, but then they kind of focus on Tyson Bajent, who you pointed out this offseason has worked out like he's the number one quarterback.
Yeah.
He doesn't care that they went out and spent the number one pick. The white boy just started convulsing. $25.5 million. He was like, oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah, $25.5 million was Caleb's signing bonus. And you've got a guy like Tyson Bajent, ain't making a dang thing, looking up at this guy thinking, you know, I'd love to be the number one quarterback. I understand this team's brought him in to do that. But, you know, I got peanuts compared to what this guy's got. That's life-changing money already off top just on your signing bonus that Bajent is probably never going to make in his career. And the white boy just started convulsing, man. It's hilarious.
Did they draft the kid out of Boise State on the roster? They signed him as an undrafted free agent.
I think he's been in a couple other organizations. Okay. I want to tell you, we just brought him in. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we didn't draft.
That's what I thought. Bajent would be the backup.
He will be. Yeah. He will be.
Yeah, I
can see Rippin as somebody's backup going into the season based on what he did last night. Somebody else may
end up draft or go get him,
picking
him
up. Yeah. Bears may not even run with three quarterbacks. A lot of teams don't do that.
Yeah.
And so another team going to pick
they
up
like
Rippin.
They like punters, though.
Yep.
Fourth round pick, baby.
Yeah, congratulations.
I did see that, though. I did see the convulsions.
You saw it?
Yeah.
It was good. It was funny.
He caught the Holy Ghost.
It was funny.
Yeah.
He ain't never going to see that kind of money. It's sad.
No.
You know, in a way it's sad, but that's the business of the NFL.
Yeah.
You got this guy that you think is your equal, right? That's how you're looking at it.
If you think that, then you a damn idiot.
Tyson's an idiot.
If he thinks Caleb Williams is his equal.
You know he thinks because you read me the story about how he did.
Well,
he grinded his face off this offseason.
Yep.
And he just, you know, going as if he's the starter or whatever else, putting everything into it. You're right. You got to adjust your reality. That's what you are. You're the number two.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that's what he's going to end up being for the rest of his career.
Yep. Anyway, good stuff. We'll talk to Adam Turnoff at 1:25 about the NFL and...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
More.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Going to be your best friend when it comes to the process of buying or selling a home. If you're a home buyer, first-time home buyer, maybe you don't necessarily know how to go about it. You don't know how to start that process. You don't know exactly how to get what you're looking for. Well, the Live Love team does. That's what they do every single day. And they're going to help you find the home of your dreams with everything you're looking for. You don't have to compromise. On the other side, same is true when it comes to selling a home. Help you make the most money for your home. Reach that network of buyers. That is what they do better than anybody. Reach out. Sold at LiveLoveMemphis.com.
Love, love, love. Singing the praises of Live Love changed my life. That is no exaggeration. There's no hyperbole. Did. And help keep the wife happy. Y'all know that old saying. She's happy, I'm happy. Yep. Jennifer Carson's in the one I've got to thank. 901-625-5200. She can change your life, too. Get you more money for that home than possibly even you think you can. They've done that for folks that we've referred over, including the Vannemans. And on the other side, the home buying side. A lot goes into that, especially if you're trying to do it on your own, especially if you're doing it on bad advice. I got good advice from Live Love. My guess is you will get more of the same. 625-5200, and she really loves and specializes in helping first-time home buyers. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
There is an absolutely bonker story in college basketball that I want to pass along to you. Kenny Blakeney. You remember old Kenny Blakeney?
Mm-hmm.
At Duke? He is the men's basketball coach of the Howard Bison.
Okay.
Played at Duke from 91 to 95. Never went pro or anything like that. But he's been a long-time college coach. And he's been the Howard coach since 2019. Now, you may not know much about Kenny Blakeney's head coaching college career.
I don't.
And why would you? He's never made an NCAA tournament. He's 61-76 as a head coach. He has made an NCAA tournament, actually 2 years in a row. So let me back up there. He's made two tournaments, obviously 0-2. You know, you win the MEAC, and that's how you get in. But Kenny Blakeney, the Bison's head coach, wants to do something that I've never seen in college basketball. He wants to sell a third of his program to a private owner. And he is saying that you can be a 33% stakeholder in Howard Bison's men's basketball for the low, low, low price of $100 billion. He is selling a third of Howard basketball for $100 million, which would value the Howard Bison men's basketball program at $300 million. A Howard Bison program that, I don't think has made a Sweet 16, has only made four tournament appearances in its program, in its history, and that plays in an arena that seats 2,000.
You got to think outside the box, man.
Well,
don't be down.
They're thinking outside the box.
Don't be down, my Bison.
And there's just plain dumb and just plain absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I won't say dumb.
You got to ask.
He's got a plan, but I mean, come on, bro. How on earth do we get to? Is the university? Is the endowment of the school $300 million of the entire thing? I mean, where are you coming up with your valuations, player? I don't know.
But what's the brother from Shark Tank? He might.
Damon John said, I'll give you $1 million for a 33% stake.
That's who I would be aiming for, because I don't think you're going to get Cuban and, and the others. I would try to get the brother.
So he's met.
Damon.
He's met with both private equity groups and other potential investors. He flew to Vegas for a charity golf outing this month.
It's the question they ask, how did you come to your valuation?
Right.
Is that I would ask.
He needs $100 million to upgrade Howard's arena and roster. So this man trying to basically be the city. He's trying to basically be the city. Where is Howard at? D.C. He's trying to be Washington, D.C. and get that upfront money and redo the whole thing. Should the idea progress, the 52-year-old coach would pitch a three-way revenue split. This is according to Washington Post. A third to the owner or the owners, a third to Howard, and a third to his program, which he says believes could use the interest to cover annual operating costs and no longer take money from the school. So what does the school think about this? Well, he hasn't talked to them about it yet. He says he'll have deeper discussions with Howard officials he's holding off on those until he gets people that are interested in investing. The only way that I would invest $100 million in Howard basketball is if, in fact, I was laundering money.
Hmm.
If, in fact, I needed a way to wash it,
right,
like Ozark. So if Howard basketball is worth $300 million, Duke must be worth $44 billion, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, if we're just sort of, using, that's what I'm saying. It's an absolute, he's not getting a percentage of that. He's not getting anything. Nobody is going to spend hard-earned money to be a 33% owner of a basketball program with basically zero tradition that plays in an arena. I mean, what a horrible investment that is. It's just, what's the upside here? You play in a terrible league. You have no tournament history. You have no television deal. You're never going to be on television. You don't have any NIL. I mean, it's just like, you could have never. Like, I think it kind of makes him look silly, the fact that he put this out there. But should we sell the Tigers basketball program? Should we get an owner over there?
Again, what's the valuation?
I mean, again.
So you have to give me a starting point.
I'm going
to
say $2.7 billion.
Yeah. Bill might foot something. He might throw something at it.
I just don't understand how you get to that, bro. Like, I actually respect the idea going outside the box. It's just like, why not something more, in this galaxy, on this planet, like 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
5 million gets you a third equity. That would actually, I think he'd get a buyer. I think he would actually have a chance. His vision is so big, though. His vision is like, I want to build out this new arena and make Howard basketball this destination, which you, like, come on, bro. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's never going to happen. $100 million is not going to just appear on your, on your doorstep, even if you want to, preach untapped revenue streams. Doesn't matter. So
Anyway, I saw this and I was a little bit like flabbergasted that he went public with it. I would have just probably sat on that one.
Maybe Skip Bayless can buy in. Did you see this news today? He announced this was his last show on Undisputed, and then he's essentially moving on, looking for the next chapter, confirming that he's seeking work elsewhere.
Wow. I think I remember seeing that, but it's
rumors were running rampant for weeks. That's why you remember it. But now he put it to bed today on the show. His last that show has fallen apart. I mean, how long ago was it now that Shannon walked away? Doesn't seem like it was within the last year. Has it been on a year without Shannon Sharp? If it has, it doesn't feel like it has. And so here's, you know, very recently after Shannon departs, Skip Bayless saying the show's done. I wonder, you typically don't finish things off, guys like him, unless you've got a plan going forward. And he says, I had a great 8-year run with a lot of great people at Fox, but now I'm excited for what's coming up. Stay tuned, which I'm looking at a TMZ story there, too, assuming that he is leaving Fox, that it's done with Fox. And so it's not just a deal where he's going to stay with Fox and do some new show. Looks like he's saying he's moving on.
Yeah.
Maybe to another network.
Didn't work with the panel, I guess. Ratings didn't improve.
So they tried, who was it, Keyshawn?
Richard Sherman.
Oh, yeah. And we said that was not going to work.
Urban.
So I don't think it's been a year, has it?
It feels like not. Maybe it's barely been a year, if it has.
I have said that his shtick doesn't play anymore. I think in conversations that we've had about it, that it's kind of gotten old.
Yep.
Is this symbolic of that? Is this the, or is a network like ESPN going to say, you know what, him and Stephen A. once had a good thing.
Right.
We'll go throw some money at him like we did Mad Dog, and we'll have, you know, Skip come on 2 days a week, or, you know, who, maybe it's more. Is there, do you think that's what Skip's thinking here? Maybe, is he still valuable to an ESPN type?
That's an interesting question. What people want in today's day and age is guaranteed audiences. I talked to Trista about this on the phone earlier this week. These places will pay you if you guarantee audiences. They'll pay you a lot. Alex Cooper just got $100 million from Spotify or something. I don't remember exactly where she went. You know, obviously Pat McAfee, you know, got what he got. You know, if you bring certain...
That's why Stephen A's going to get a new contract, a big one.
If you don't, though, and I don't think Skip does. Skip brings the guaranteed audience anymore. I think he, you know...
That's the question on him. That's why I said if you're ESPN, if you're doing something, you're doing it on a part-time basis, sort of like you do with Mad Dog.
Yeah.
You know, and you got him in a role first to see.
Exactly.
To see and test it if there's still some magic there with him and Stephen A.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like...
I can't see giving him a show.
Yes.
Skip a show, his own show on ESPN at this point of his career.
Yeah, like, respectfully, like, you know, all respect to people that do love that stuff. I don't watch those shows. You know, I just don't. That's not what I choose to consume. You know, I know you're a big Get Up guy. I think Get Up's a different type of show, though. You know, it's not necessarily a debate show. It's more of just like discussing, you know, the news topics of the day. Without the
it's yelling. Not one-on-one debate.
Right.
Yeah. There is debate, but it's not set up in the same way that a, you know, First Take was, or a Pardon the Interruption.
Right. So, you know, again, it's just a little different. It's a very different format, which, you know, I'm just trying to separate. I don't want you to feel like I'm coming at you for watching the show. You know what I'm saying? You were not a First Take guy. You were not a Undisputed guy. But our viewership changes. I'm not saying I've never watched a segment like that got posted on YouTube or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think the way we measure viewership and audiences has changed over the years. But in terms of sitting down at the in front of the TV and watching
Undisputed was not one. First Take I still have on, but I turn it down while I listen to Jeff.
Right.
And unless Stephen A is on something big. They were at NABJ today, though. I did notice that.
Oh, so...
They went into Chicago. Stephen A took it live into the NABJ where Trump had just been.
Wow. Yeah. How about that?
They were there live.
But yeah, so it's definitely, you know, I think the times have changed. I think the times have changed in that way that, you know, you have to bring something a little different than, you know, your obviously trumped up, ridiculous opinions. Like,
you're telling me his relationship with Weezy has not saved him and kept him current?
Yeah, dumb as hell.
Yeah, it was. It was a sign of the times.
Dumb as hell.
Guys are playing that card.
Both of y'all were better in 2007.
Wheezy's come back. I don't know if you've noticed.
I haven't.
Again, I think he's a little bit more sober.
Well, that's good.
He's putting the work back in.
That's good.
Like, with some of
sobriety is fun.
That's my gut. That, again, that's wild speculation.
Yeah.
But he seems refocused in a way. I could be wrong.
Sobriety is a fun thing.
I mean, just as you get older, you realize the value in it.
Exactly.
And of it, I should say.
No question. Yeah. You know, it's just like you don't lose days. You don't lose the days.
I got to party all the time. Still have a good time.
Yeah.
As you get older.
Again, I'm not
when
saying.
When you're young, you want to party.
I'll drink again someday.
I know you want to party right now. It's Friday. I bet you want to go out there and party.
I do.
Let loose. But you're a dad now.
But I can party without alcohol.
Good.
That's the thing.
Right. That takes maturity to understand that.
And a lot of people in my life, like, you know, have sort of moved away from it, too. I noticed that among people my age. Like, I think it's going to be, alcohol is going to be less popular with future generations.
Smoking.
Yeah, like, it's going to be. People are going to move to different things. Like, weed's going to be the thing. Everybody's going to smoke weed. Everybody loves weed. And it's just, you know.
It's so available now.
Right, it is. Like
The other things were.
And the
cigarettes.
And again, I'm not on these studies, but the detriment of weed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.